Alright, show me my spot.
What happens is that the you put the temperature strip on your forehead, and if you got temperature, the colour changes. So that is, it changes from whatever colour it is. I can't remember if it's green or blue, I can't remember what it is, but it's different colours. It tells you, whatever colour it is, it tells you what, you know, it doesn't make a number as far as I know, it just tells you that you've got temperature. Green is probably very slight temperature, maybe blue is a bit harder, and mauve is serious, get to the hospital. So that, the chair is also a problem. Obviously, if it's a shadow, it's a constant flashes, obviously. I mean, if a person's got no other thermometer to use at all, then obviously you have to use that, you've got nothing else, and you need to find out what's going on. But ideally, one should use a normal, the old-fashioned thermometers. The mercury ones are those the best ones to use, really. That's the least of all the problems with all these thermometers. That's no problem. Okay, that's more or less, as far as I know, the end of the surveyor. The next few melachas, actually, we're very quick, hopefully, another six melachas or so, which go very, very quick. Which, lemaisa, even though you think it's not a ger, lemaisa it could be. So, let's start with the first one. So, we finished surveyor. The next one after surveyor is... I think it's spinning. So that is the next malacha. After you coloured the material, you've got some wool which you've coloured. The next stage is tvia, spinning. It's after you combed it, you cleaned it, you dyed it. So the wool is now ready to make it a thread. So to twist any fibres or hairs into a thread, however you do it, by hand, by a machine, you're making it into a fibre, into a thread, that is the malacha of tovah, spinning. Only thing which could be relevant nowadays, I was trying to think what's negated nowadays, it can be this, is the malacha, sometimes the scissors at the end, they start fraying, and you want to twine it together again to make it back into one. Because you've got one thread, each thread I think is made of like eight thin, very, very thin threads, so sometimes they start fraying. To twine those back together again, that lechair is very similar to this malacha. Could well be included in this malacha. Possibly. If you want to make it to one thread, so lechair, that is where we'll come into practice. But otherwise, I can't really think well. Oh, others say to take, for the marshal, let's say to take a ball of cotton, you've got a cotton wool, and you pull off a little bit, and you make it into a wick. Someone wants to clean his ears, I don't know what he's trying to do exactly. He's trying to do something, and he wants to make a thin wick from the cotton wool. So there also, you're making, not much a thread to weave something, but you're making from a lump of something into a thread, into a, like a line. Possibly there also, the possibility, maybe that also could be problematic. Otherwise, I don't know where else it would be so negeir is over here, yeah? That's the malacha of tovah, the malacha of spinning. Okay, the next one after that, after tovia, the next one's called mesach. Not very good at all this over here, let me just see how I translate it. Mesach normally is preparing threads for spinning. That means you've got a thread, so 1 minute. What you've done is you've got a whole load of wool in front of you, that was after surveyor. It's all cleaned and dyed, all done. Then you take the wool and you pull out the strands and you make it into threads. So you made the thread now, you've got a long thread which you want to now make into a baguette. So you're going to see how you do it. But once you've got the threads made from different fibres into a thread, you now start making a baguette. So before you do that, the first malacha is mesach. You have to repair the threads onto a weaving loom in order to do it. Let me just show you a picture over here. There's a picture here. It helps us quite a bit. I can find it here. This is what a weaving loom looked like. A weaving loom over here. I can't tell you much about it, I'm not very well versed in it, but Meister, it's clear you have threads going, long threads going from this end all the way down to here. Yeah? Those are called, I think that's a chassis. The one horizontal, I think, is chassis. Okay, it makes it look good. One of them is going straight across.
So what actually is he doing now?
He's going to put it onto the loom, yes. Putting it onto the loom. So putting it on to repair the warp threads, the chute chassis, which run along the length across. I mean, these ones are ready. Put one end over here, you take the thread, roll it all, stretch it all the way to the other end. That is preparing now the weaving process. Then you take another thread, a long thread, and you do the same on the next line. Yeah, you make a whole load of lines of threads.
But doing one, you're doing nothing. You can't make
it. It's the beginning. It looks like mesach is the beginning of the preparation. The beginning of the preparation of starting the weaving. Yeah, you're right. You have to do more to make a weaving. The mesach, the issa of mesach, is the preparation of the making the weaving loom. So that itself is already mesach. Yeah, so that's already called mesach. Preparing the warp threads, those which run along the length of cloth. Now, including that is very interesting, is disentangling as well. Because when you've got threads that are combed together and you separate them, you want to make them to thin strands, that's also key to a process of getting ready to make a weave. So disentangling, straightening out is all included. If you straighten out threads not for tevia, then that's not awesome. However, it could still be a problem. The moshel, I think we spoke about this once before, the moshel tzitzis. The tzitzis get caught together over here. So in the maaseh, you want to separate the tzitzis thread. You don't want them to be together. But you're not planning on weaving anything. So the chayrim, it's some, this malacha over here of getting ready for the weaving process, there's no problem. However, many achroim take on that you're not yotz the mitzvah with tzitzis which are tangled. Hence, to untangle the tzitzis is a shalom makropatish. It's tikkun mone. Because chol zman, according to many poskim, while the tzitzis are entangled, you're not doing the mitzvah properly. So to disentangle it, you're making now the mitzvah can be done. So that could be a shadow tikkun mone. It's a big question, this actually. Others hold there's no problem, you're yotzei the mitzvah even when it's tangled. But there are definitely some shiur which hold you're not yotzei. So therefore, it could be the disentangled tzitzis on Shabbos could be a serious problem. Based on the opinion that it holds, it might be tikkun mone, that's you're improving the beggar, you're making the beggar better, that could be a serious problem. So the chari, it's best not to disentangle them on Shabbos.
Is there some sort of measure of how tangled they have to be?
It's a good question. I mean, tangle is normally tangled. It means that it's stuck together. I mean, what do you mean? If it's just very, very loose and you hold it like this, it just falls apart. That shows nothing. But if it's twined together, the mice that, if you just hold it, it still stick together, it wouldn't come apart, then the chore, that's called tangled. If you were to lift it up and it would fall apart, all the threads would just fall apart, then that's not called tangled, that's nothing. But if it's to a certain degree, the way it's held now, you have to put your finger to break it, and without separating with your fingers, it's going to stay in that, like a bundle together.
What I meant was, if it's tangled up near the kesher, lower down, is there threads tangled?
Doesn't matter, it's a difference where it's tangled. I mean, it could be if it's tangled right at the bottom, you've got a shear without it. I'm sure it makes a difference, actually. I don't know if it makes a difference. I don't know if they make a chilek about where it's tangled. So it's best, I mean, the master, many people have got a Shabbos talis, for example. What they do is when they put the Shabbos talis away, first of all, they check all the knots, and also they disentangle everything, and they make sure it all runs, flows nicely. If you go to a shul, the master, you have to borrow someone's talis, and the talis is tangled, the chur is best to leave it, I would have thought. It's best to leave it as is. You have to rely on it. If you get another talis, you've got no problem. You can wear another talis. But if you've got no other talis, the chur, you have to rely on no shittas which hold that with the evidence, it's all right still. And it's not called a chesaron. It's a machlokes. The ma'aseh is a machlokes over here. I mean, everyone holds the chatchila should be separated. That's no question about it. Definitely the chatchila, the strands should be separated. The question is, they're not separated and they're tangled together. Are you doing the mitzvah? So some say the ma'aseh, you're not doing the mitzvah like that. Others say, but the eved, you're doing the mitzvah. So you have to be, one should be aware of this. I mean, it's not so possible. I must tell you, just while we're on it, I mean, I better show there's another malacha coming up, but you see many times people doing this actually. Look at their tzitzit on Shabbos, and they look, I can do it now, they just pull it to make it tighten the knot. The knot's not tight. That's a serious problem, that. That's a serious problem. It's a double knot down there. It could be called a keshet chayoma, possibly, maybe. So one has to be very careful. You see, many people do this, actually, don't really. I mean, they're not aware of what they're doing. They're not aware that to tighten the knot, they think the knot's there, and you've got everything there in position. The knot's there, it's just a bit loose. Just to pull it a little bit, to tighten it, is not a problem. That's it's very duckers do that. What you mean, very slightly, it could come undone. There's one Megadorim in kosher. If it's not a knot which will undo itself, then that's not really called a kshisha. But you have to know what I mean. It's risky. It's better to probably leave it. Otherwise, you still be yotze without another knot. The ikkar of tzitzis is really the first knot on the tzitzis. That's the first one is the one you're yotze with. All the rest you don't really need. So, I mean, about this, on Shabbat, to do a shiloh and issa, maybe the raisa, maybe, of doing a double knot, it's best, certainly best to avoid it. Okay, that is the melacha of Mesach. Wow, we've never been so far. We've got two melachas in 10 minutes. Very good. Now, third one, also, this is a bit more complicated, this one. This is called Oseh Botinirin. Oseh Base Botinirin is what you were speaking about before. This is, you're attaching the harness to the threads. Again, I can't tell you so much what goes on, but when you put the loom up, so you put the thread from one end right to the other end. Now, let's just imagine you've got a whole lot of threads going over. It's no good. You won't weave like that. What you have to do is you have to make it that the shuttle, wherever it goes through, can go in, out, in, out. So how they make it is a loom. There's a big loom, and every alternate thread lifts up. And therefore, you've got a straightforward tunnel where you can go right through and put the other thread through it. How is it lifted up? It goes through like a harness. In that harness, there are little rings at the bottom, which you can see over here in the picture. Those rings, to insert two threads through those rings, is called base botinirin. That one's high up on Shabbos. To put two threads through those holes over here, you can see the holes over here, it's not a very nice picture. The holes are here, they've got a little harness there with hooks at the bottom, and it goes through that those holes. In order to enable that, when you lift it up, the thread get lifted up with those harnesses, to put two of them through the holes is l'chorin is the rise of oisir base botinirin. Even one l'chor is a problem, it's chatzi shear. That I couldn't find anywhere where it's really relevant to us nowadays. That I couldn't really find a case of nowadays where it's relevant. These things are not so relevant to us anymore. Okay, that was the malach of base botinirin. Then you got the next one, that's a bit more negair, maybe oirig. Now it's actually weaving itself. That's to weave the threads into a material. That means now you take the shuttle, you go through, bring it back, and you weave the beged. You're making you're making the material now into a beged. It applies to everything: wool, linen, cotton, silk, man-made fiber. Makes no chilik how you do it, by hand, knitting, crochet. All these things is problematic. It even applies actually to non-cloth material. Actually, weaving. This weaving applies even to non-cloth material. So it's very topical, actually, this, where this could be negated to. So the marshal is straw hat. I haven't seen one of those for a long time, but the marshal is straw hat where it's coming apart, the straw is coming apart. So the person wants to finish it off, he wants to finish it and put the straw back in, he wants to weave it back in again to make sure it's nice. That the a serious problem. Could be macrobatis as well. Okay, that was one thing. Yes, no, it could be, but the mice have been something over is a serious problem. Anyone tell where else is it again? It's actually very relevant this time of year, this malacha. Where else could it be relevant to? Schach, well, you know, koshal. Yeah, the koshal and the lulav, actually. So first of all, to make the koshal on Shabbos, as Mummy says, a serious problem. You're doing ariga there. To make that little koshal, you're weaving the leaves together, and to make that is mamish awesome. Even if it's already made, but some of it's come off, and you now reinsert it, to make it back again as it was, because also could be a shadow of Uruk. That's also a problem. Mice, there's not much Mishnah Berurah on these halachas over here. At the end of Mamish, the last page in Chelek Gimel. The minute doesn't really help you, because all that's also to make it Chayim in HaTorah, but it's Chatzi Shir is also HaTorah. So really, all these Shiurim, that's why I didn't really go into, he speaks about the Shiurim here, but really, all these Shiurim don't make much of a difference to us, because the Shiurim are originally Chayim is on the Korban Chatos, or Skila, but we hold Chatzi Shir is also HaTorah, so even a small amount that person does is really also. So here, right at the end of Shir Mem Dalet, but it goes through a few things. What we do now, Oireg. Here brings over here Oireg. Echad Oireg, a beggar, a bekonim, a shoist, a chadon, you know what I mean? How is that? Toys over chayim. Hanim and Tolosh. Oh, this is only Betolosh. Okay, we'll come back in a minute. Just by Toiver, also, all these malachis goes through Toiver, the one we mentioned before. Makes the note difference what material you're using, that's what we said. All this is what we said over Botinirin speaks about. Yeah, okay, let's do Oireg. So the Maisa Oireg over here, this weaving over here, could be, I'm saying it's non, even non. Begotim, doesn't have to be a beggar dafka. Even any material which goes from the ground, so the moshel, the straw, someone weaves straw, or I say the leaves of a lulav thing, which a person weaves together to make a koshel, so that's a problem of Oireg.
Why platting?
I'll come to Mamish that now, yeah? Now, the next thing over here is what about platting? Yeah? Mamish is the next case over here. So to make a plat, for example, on a shaitel, is an act of Oireg, really. I mean, someone plats a shaitel, you'll see that the issue of platting, we'll come to a person in a minute, but let's talk about a shaitel. Someone's got a shaitel and he plats it, that is an issue of Oireg. But the belt is not going to last very long normally, it comes undone normally often. It doesn't say it's not really shal kayoma, so it's only temporary, the mice and issue of Rabon. But it's still also to do. A person mustn't plat a shaitel taka on Shabbos. Mr. Brewer says over here, it only applies to Tolosh. Hakoyle Esar's Roshim, hold on, it applies to hairs, but honey milim tolish. It has to be not connected to the body. If it's connected to the body, that means a girl, for example, who decides to plait her hair, that's not Oireg. Weaving is only applicable on a loose material. So he explains over here, a goof of Adam is not Oireg, even with Rabbanon, since it's unusual to plait on one's goof, Chazal made no issur at all. I mean, it's the whole issur of plaiting with hair is an issur Rabbanon. And on the goof Adam is so unusual, so Chazal didn't even make an issa of Adam. So a girl l'chayra to plait her hair is l'chayra not the issa of Oireg. Well, there's an issa of Boina, I can't remember, it could be a shayla of Boina maybe.
Well, so the hair that come out, you know,
Yeah, to be careful not to put it out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no Issa. It could well be it's a problem of boina, though. It could be, I can't remember, Midrabbanan, I think maybe it's an Issa of plaiting hair on Shabbos mitzvah boina. That could be. I'll tell you what, is also Nageir to this Oirig. You know, one ever thinks, where's Oirig Nageir at all? I tell you, it's very interesting. If a person walks past the Moshel, a nail that protrudes out of something, and he gets his beggared caught, so that a thread tears. It comes out, the Moshel, yeah? So you've got the thread torn already, so what happens is the jacket, let's say, shrumples up, crumbles up, yeah? It all crumbles up. So he says a beggar gets caught in a nail or any other sharp edge, and the thread becomes pulled, and the fabric now around the stretched thread crumbles up. It's also to stretch and pull at the fabric in order to smooth it out and make it back to normal again. That's also like a maisariga. You know, now you're sorting out the threads. One doesn't think about it. That could be, that's also called a maisariga. You're doing it to smooth it out and correct its appearance. It's equivalent to oirig. That is very similar to the maisariga, what a person's doing. And therefore, that is also to do on Shabbos. Yeah, so again, what?
That's quite
shy. You walk through past something, you get caught on something, and it makes a little of a tear, so the thread gets pulled, and then the whole beggar crumples up. So to pull the beggar at the sides, to straighten it out in a way that the mice is back to normal again, so you're straightening out the thread. You're making the weave go back into place, that could be a problem.
Yeah, sometimes on the pelvis, when you hold it over here, sometimes the weave becomes a bit
Yeah?
You pull it back together,
so you straight. What do you mean? I don't know what I mean. I
don't know.
Yeah, but space.
It becomes a bit
yeah. Worn out, you mean? A bit. Yeah, so what do you want to do? How do you want to straighten
it? Very loose weave.
Could be very similar. It's very, very similar. The hose also could be problematic. Yeah, could also be problematic.
Shoelaces, is that called a reader?
What are you doing with shoes?
You're slotting the shoelaces into a shoe. You mean to
it's not a beggar, you're not making a beggar there. They're making a beggar.
Yeah. You bring it together to a side, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like the loom you're putting into the
coat. Yes, that's how coat, but I'm not sure what you're doing. You're not making a beggar here. You're not making and stretching a beggar.
That's it, but I'll tell you, you're making a beggar, it's going through the eyes.
It's going through the eyes. First of all, it's very far apart. I don't know if that's called joined together. It's very far apart as it is.
Similar to the loom, though. Thread into those eyes.
But that's a whole weaving loom. You're doing a process of weaving. That's what the Torah, that's what we're doing. Shoes, you're not a mice of weaving over here. It looks very similar, but you're not doing a mice of weaving. You're not weaving a beggar. You're not preparing to weave a beggar over here. So that's not included in the case of Rikor. I should have patch to Moshe to put a new shoelace in. But Sada Riga, I find that Kiddush. Tofa, I don't know if that's tofa. You have to make a beggar. Stick a beggar together. There's no beggar here. There's no, in the Maaseh, very interesting, we'll just finish off with this. There's an Issa to weave on Shabbos, but there's no Issa to prevent something fraying. So the Moshel, if something's begin to fray, so you want to put a safety pin in to stop it fraying more. That's no Issa of Ariga Pashtus, yeah? There's no Issa of Ariga in that case. To stop something fraying more is no Issa. The Issa of Ariga is to bring it together. To stop it separating further is no Issa of Ariga. But what could be a problem is actually very interesting. In the women's tights, for example, sometimes they get a ladder in their tights. So you get a little threads starting to fall apart. So what people sometimes do is, during a week, you put a bit of nail varnish or something on that. Now that is, the poskim speak about this, that could be worse. First of all, that strengthens it very, very strong. It could be you even made a new thing of it. It could be a makapatish. That's not just prevention. You've made it much stronger than it was beforehand. You've done a new thing. That could be a shadow of makapatish maybe. That should not be done on Shabbos. All right, so we're going to stop there. Okay, screw it.